fame now, Anderson, Rabin, and Wakeman with a whole lot of yes. Trevor, welcome to the Eagle. How are you?
Hey, Nick. How are you doing?
Doing swell. Doing swell. I have so much to talk to you about and ask about. I know that I was on a website and read that you guys are in the process of working on some new material. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've actually, that's kind of how we started. We've been, for years we've been talking about getting together and we've all been busy. I've been pretty busy doing film scores and we never really managed to find time, but we really wanted to create some new music. That's where it all began, but almost as soon as we found the time to do it and started getting into the music, there was a real push to get on the road and play shows, and we haven't stopped. And so the actual writing process is, I wouldn't say it's been put on the back burner, but it's a lot of time's been taken up touring, so it's slowed down the writing process, but we're well into it at this point.
Trevor, let's go back in time again, and the name Mutt Lange will enter the conversation pretty quick, because as I understand, Mutt introduced you to some of the members of Yes, I want to say late 70s, early 80s. Am I close to being right on that?
Well, the funny thing is Mutt introduced me to a lot of different things. Mutt and I went back when he was a producer in South Africa and a fantastic bass player. I don't know if people know that, and singer. And we used to do, he used to book me for all these sessions many, many years ago, and then he moved to London, and then obviously his history is pretty well known. I think he's the finest producer that I've ever come across, and he was just such a talented songwriter. And one thing led to the next, and he was always being pretty kind and recommending me to things, and he recommended me to Atlantic Records when I had signed a deal with Geffen Records and was writing to do a solo album, and we didn't see eye to eye creatively, and they dropped me, and I was sitting with basically what became 90155 without a record deal, and so I was looking for a record deal, and one of the places that landed, there were funnily enough two places. One was Keith Emerson and Jack Bruce were talking about putting a band together, and Jack and I had worked together, so that was one of the things. And then the other was Alan White and Chris Squire were looking to work with somebody, and obviously a phenomenal rhythm section, and that's where I landed up. And, you know, there's obviously a load of that material, and that's kind of where 90155 kind of was born.
To 90155, and this is a compliment, I'm not sure the right word to choose, because when you came on board with Yes, you added a poppy commercial feel to it, and maybe that's not the right word, but definitely hook, because you had some really strong hooks and it seemed to have, in some ways, focused the band. Was that the reception you got when you first met them?
Yeah, it was a mixed blessing, because some people looked at it as if those hooky elements were more of a pop side. But to be quite honest, even of the more classically oriented orchestral works that are done on film, hooks are, having a hook or a melodic sensibility is extremely important. I mean, even if you go back to Tchaikovsky's 1812 or Swan Lake, and the melodies are just gorgeous and memorable, and so I don't see it as a dirty word, but you know, a lot of people do. If it wasn't avant-garde enough, then suddenly it was not cool enough, which has turned out not to be the case, thankfully.
You know, I'm noticing, and I'm sure you are too, being on the road with John and Rick, that there is a resurgence, a renaissance of lovers of progressive rock. I really am starting to sense that a lot just in the past, I don't know, a couple of years, it seems like.
Well, I've got to agree with you, because the responses at the show that we're getting are so energetic. And I would have to say, even though, our tours are current tour is only 30 dates long, so we're not doing the big grueling 80-day tours, but the response has been so energetic, and we enjoy playing together so much, and I think it's reflected in how it's being portrayed to the audience.
We're speaking with Trevor Rabin now, of course, of Anderson, Rabin, and Wakeman, who are coming to Ruth Eckert Hall. That's going to be October 11th, which really isn't far, about 3 weeks away. And Trevor, a lot of people may not be aware, but you've done a fair amount of soundtrack work as well. My question to you is, what is the difference in writing a rock song versus movie soundtrack work? How is that different?
Yeah, it's there's so many fundamental differences. I think one of the main things is every single day you have to go downstairs with a blank page, so to speak, and create, because you don't have time. If you say to them, with a rocket song, you might say, well, it's not quite there, it might take another 2 weeks. You say that in a film school, they'll say, well, it was nice knowing you, goodbye. Because, schedule and delivering is of the utmost importance. Plus, with scores, what's really great about it is, I would go from conducting a 90-piece orchestra on something like Armageddon or National Treasure, Remember the Titans, to something more eclectic like the Banger Sisters, which was more kind of dobro, guitars, a bit of piano. So you really run the gamut from country music to heavy, almost Mahler-ish kind of classical music. And, I've always loved conducting and arranging. So it's just such a fantastic place to be if you want to explore all different styles. And but it's been great because I did 50 films. And, I'd say I'd forgotten about what it was like even being on the road. But obviously I was playing guitar a lot on my scores. So my chops I was keeping up, but for the most part, I was dealing with orchestras. And after 50 movies, it's getting back to the road. I didn't realize how much I'd missed it, I certainly had.
When you do a movie soundtrack, my question, is the process. Do they give you the plot? Do they give you the concept of the movie? Or do they shoot the movie and you see it without a soundtrack and then start to consider what you might do? How does that work?
Well, one of the dirty words in film scoring now is something called a temporary score, where they utilize music from other films just to work with while they're putting the movie together, after they've shot it, once it goes into post-production. And, sometimes it's a good thing because very often I've been asked to do a movie because the temporary score has been my music. But, the only thing is that it starts becoming ingrained in the director's mind, so you're constantly battling against that. But for the most part, I'd say to summarize it in the best way, you'd be sent a script that the director was interested in using you, and if you liked the script, you'd meet the director, and if everything went well, they'd shoot the movie, and you'd get back to them once they've got a very rough cut, and you do what's called a spotting session, where you get together and decide where music's going to go. And what I did, which I thought was, something I don't know if other people do it this way, but I would go and write different themes to, I'd jot down, okay, this is the theme for this guy and that guy, the love connection, the chase connection, the more brooding stuff, all kinds of different emotional stuff, and then write those different pieces, and then try and kind of formulate a kind of underture, if you like, where you put it all together, and then just let the director hear it. Does two things. They get familiar with the music, they forget about the temporary score, and then you've got music to work with. And then we start putting it very specifically to those places. So I don't know if that,
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Talking about the show that we're going to see here in 3 weeks, I want to talk about, I'm assuming that we're going to hear some Fragile, we're going to hear some Close to the Edge, and we're probably going to hear a whole lot of 90125. Is that a safe guess?
That's a really safe guess. We also play something I love playing from the old stuff is the song Awaken. We've really reapproached it and do it in a very different way. And I love doing that. We're also doing a stuff from the last album I did with a band before I left in 93, I think, or 94, from an album Talk. And then some songs from Big Generator. And, oh boy, I think I'm missing out some two or three different albums. But, yeah, it's a real collection of, you know, a large history of the band.
Well, there's so much material coming to mind. The Yes album, too, of course. You know, I've seen All Good People, and I'm thinking there's just so much great Yes stuff that you guys have access to. And then, of course, you know, into the latter part of Yes, Big Generator is another album that I like very much.
Oh well, thank you. Yeah, I love doing that. It was a difficult album to do, but that's never a bad thing. At the end of the day, if you're happy with it, but it took 2 years to do, which was just meant there some calluses on the fingers. yeah, it's really tough with this band because when we first rehearsed the tour, we landed up realizing we had over 3 hours of music to play, and so we really had to be a bit ruthless in butchering out quite a lot of stuff because the finesse part of it landed up with us having a 3-hour show, which was way, way too long. And we've cut it down to just north of 2 hours.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to it, Trevor. This is going to be October 11th at Ruth Eckert Hall, and we certainly want to thank you for taking time to catch up with us today on the Eagle. And you guys have safe travels, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Well, Nick, great talking to you, and look forward to the show. I hope everyone comes, and if they enjoy it as much as we do, they're going to have some fun.
Will do. See you then.
All right, man. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.